Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
So, you'd like to believe in God, but you wonder, if God really exists, why doesn't he just come down from heaven? Why doesn't he come down to earth and make himself known? Why not reveal himself in mighty power with a thunderous voice, accompanied by miracles, instead of making people believe in him by faith? Or sending some prophet, and then we have to decide if the prophet's really coming from him, or using some book like the Bible, and then we have to decide if the Bible's really his word. Why not just come down himself if he's really God? Surely he has the ability to do that. Well, my friend, that's a very fair question, but I must tell you, that is just exactly what God did. He did it long ago. He did it in the days of Moses. The Almighty came down to Mount Sinai with trumpets, with fire, with a thunderous voice, with a great big black cloud of smoke, with all those industrial light and magic George Lucas, Steven Spielberg special effect type things. He did all the stuff you would expect. He did all the stuff you were asking. And how did the people react? They were freaked out. They said, Moses, we can't handle this. You go up to the mountain and listen to God and then come down and tell us what he said. So Moses did just as the people asked. He went up on the mountain and listened to God for 40 days and 40 nights. At that time, God gave him the rest of his laws. Incidentally, there are some 600 commandments, not merely 10. We always talk about the 10 commandments. The significance of the 10 commandments is that they were the first 10 and only 10 God got through before the people interrupted and asked Moses to go up and listen to the others. There's a hilarious movie that came out quite some time ago. Some of it is lewd, but a lot of it is just hilarious. It's a Mel Brooks movie. Either you're a Mel Brooks fan or you're not. But this was called The History of the World Part 1. He was doing a satire on sequels because he never intended to make a History of the World Part 2. So he just called Part 1 right in the title. That alone I thought was funny. But toward the beginning of this movie, he starts with Moses. He goes from Moses all the way up to the time of the French Revolution. But Moses is coming down from the mountain with 3 tablets, 15 commandments, instead of 2 tablets in his hands. He's balancing 3. And he's not balancing them very well. And as he starts to talk, he accidentally drops one of them and shatters 5 of those commandments. So he's coming down from the mountain. He's going, the Lord God gave me these 15, 10 commandments. Anyway, in the real story, when Moses went up to the mountain, God did personally, supernaturally carve those first 10 commandments on stone tablets, those first 10 that he had gotten through before the people stopped him. And then he gave the rest of the commandments to Moses orally. Moses wrote those down. And a lot of those commandments make up our first books of the Bible, what the ancient Jews called the Torah, what the present day Jews call the Torah as well. Now, get this. You gotta love this. When Moses returned with God's law, the people felt he had been gone so long, they freaked out again, this time not because they're seeing too many special effects, but because they're not hearing anything. So they built this golden calf, and they worshiped that. We call that idol worship. Now, I know that sounds stupid, and it is stupid, but the people back then weren't quite as stupid as you would think. They were very aware that they had built that. They weren't really worshiping something they built. In those days, when you built an idol, what they were building was what they believed was the representation of a god. So what they built, they felt was a likeness of some being that existed in heaven. Still really weird, I know, but perhaps not as dumb as you had thought. But anyway, they build this thing. They decided to worship this golden calf that represented one of the Egyptian gods. They had just come from Egypt. They had just been delivered from Egypt. They rejected Moses when he came down from the mountain, sounding not unlike many of today's falsely religious.
Now, how do we know that Moses really talked to God? Moses, are you saying your view of God is better than our view of God? Can't every person have their own view of God?
That kind of thing. Moses responds. He says, look, this was your idea of having God communicate through spokesmen. And from now on, that is the way things will continue to be. God is going to send such spokesmen on a regular basis. they will be called prophets. Of course, that was a rough paraphrase. Here are the actual words shared by Moses before he died in an oration not unlike a farewell State of the Union address. I'm reading from the end of the book of Deuteronomy. Moses standing before the nation, before they're about to go to the promised land. God's calling him home. He knows he's going to go away. So it's like a farewell summary from a president leaving office. He says, "The nations you will dispossess, listen to those who practice sorcery or divination. But as for you, the Lord your God has not permitted you to do so. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him. For this is what you asked of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, 'Let us not hear the voice of the Lord our God, nor see this great fire anymore, or we will die.' The Lord said to me, 'What they say is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their fellow Israelites, and I will put my words in his mouth. He will tell them everything I command him. I myself will call to account anyone who does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name. But a prophet who presumes to speak in my name anything I have not commanded, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, is to be put to death." Again, that was from Deuteronomy toward the end, chapter 18. In the rest of the Bible, what we call the Old Testament, what the Jews call the Tanakh, we see prophet after prophet coming from God. Moses is the beginning of a lineage of prophets. God's going to send other prophets. That's the way God's going to communicate. And prophet after prophet was rejected by the ancient Jews. Oh, they accepted some of them. But boy, you read the stories of those prophets, they're constantly getting barraged with people who are doubting whether they really hear from God. One day, and now we go many, many years into the future, our past, but their future, a person known as Jesus of Nazareth comes, and he is none other than God himself, God incarnate. He too claims to be a prophet, but what a prophet. He's not only speaking for God, he is God. In other words, this God who wanted to come down to our level and talk to us actually did it again, this time in the form of a human being. Jesus did not immediately identify who he was, but late in his ministry, he made it very clear who he was. We'll do another show on that where we can go through the New Testament and look at the different claims that Jesus had that he was actually God. But my point is, when people say, "Why doesn't God come down from heaven?" He's done it twice. The first time in the kind of glory that we would expect. The second time as an incarnation. He actually became a human being. God by identity. But Jesus was a real human being. Whatever he had looked like before, whatever power he had before, he gave all that up. When he did miracles, he did it by the power of the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, and under the direction of the Father and the Holy Spirit maintained their original forms during this time. Again, very interesting discussion that we'll get into on another show. But my point is, God not only came down from heaven, he did it twice. And what did they do to Jesus? They treated him like they treated Moses. History is always 20/20. Jesus mentioned this. He says, "You decorate the tombs of the prophets and you honor them. But in those days, those prophets were rejected by your ancestors." So people are doing the same thing now to Jesus. Remember, it started with Moses. How do we know Moses really talked to God? We believe there's a God. How do we know Moses talked to God? And now with Jesus, oh, we honor Moses. Moses is part of our heritage. Moses is one of our ancestors. Moses is the one through whom God gave us the covenant at Sinai. We fully expect that God came down at Sinai. But how do we know this Jesus is talking to the God whom Moses told us about? And then what happens? Today, it's the same thing, but they've just moved the goalpost a little farther again. Well, we have no problem with Jesus. Yeah, Jesus came from God. But how do we know these so-called Christians are really representing Jesus? How do we know Jesus' words have really survived? I don't have a problem with Jesus. Jesus was a great humanitarian, a wonderful philosopher, a great prophet, maybe even God incarnate. I just don't think this Christian who claims to have a relationship with Jesus is really having a relationship with him. Why doesn't God just come down from heaven? My friend, he has, and his spirit is still here. You could say that a third time after Jesus left, he said the Comforter, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity will come in my place. Can God still send prophets? He can. The good news, however, is that under the new covenant, although God will at times continue to send prophets, he now speaks to all of us directly through the subtle but significant comforting voice of his Holy Spirit. 1 John 4:13. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. Why doesn't God come down from heaven? He has, my friend. He continues to, my friend, through his Spirit. The truth is, it never makes a hill of beans a difference to those who are trying to rationalize their sin, to those who do not want to follow him. Where you fit in, where your heart is, where your motive is, that's between you and God. You may be asking this question sincerely. I used to ask this question sincerely, but some people ask the question insincerely. My point is that those who do not want to overcome their sin, it doesn't matter how many times or in how many wonderful ways God comes down, it will not make a difference unless people want to obey God. And we cannot obey God without first dealing with this selfish nature that the Bible calls sinful, accepting the forgiveness and atonement of Christ. This is Bob Siegel, making the obvious obvious.
The Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/Bob.